Thank you. Well, tonight we are looking at Psalm 122, which I will read to you now. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I am sure that, like me, your thoughts have very much been resting on the Queen this week. And I was surprised, actually, by how emotional I was at hearing of her death. But over the last few days, it's been so wonderful hearing all these stories about how she had such a wonderful impact on other people's lives. And it's no wonder that we're feeling this sense of loss. But on the morning of the 2nd of June, 1953, a young Queen Elizabeth walked into Westminster Abbey. And as she walked in, a choir was singing words from that psalm, which I just read. And it was the Hubert Parry version of this. I was glad when they said unto me, we will go into the house of the Lord. And I think that the Queen really was glad. I think she was very glad to be going into the house of the Lord, particularly on that day. Because she's had this whole year building up, thinking more and more about what this new role was going to be. Thinking about the pressure, the decisions, the diplomacy, all of that inescapable weight resting on her shoulders. And here was this moment where this whole new life was becoming formal and becoming real. And so I think she probably was very glad that she was doing that in the house of the Lord. Not only was she formally committing herself to God, but she had a special moment where she could know that he was committing to her. And there was this really special moment in the coronation service where she was anointed. And this bit wasn't seen by the cameras. It was hidden under a canopy. It was this special moment between her and God. And when she had that oil on her forehead in the sign of the cross, I'm sure she was glad that she was there and she could have that moment with God. And know that she didn't have to do this on her own, that God would be with her. And in the Abbey, the archbishops and all of those present, and probably loads of people who are watching, they prayed for her. They prayed for her, they prayed for God to help her. And then they gave her a Bible, the word of the Lord. And all of this was to help guide her and support her in what we know was going to turn into a 70-year chapter of her life. So I'm glad, sure that she was very glad that this all happened in the house of the Lord, with prayer, with the Bible, surrounded by godly people, surrounded by Christians, and happening in this abbey that was steeped in prayer from hundreds of years, because she probably needed every reminder going, God is with you. And coming to a place to draw close to God, that's something that's always been a really special part of God's relationship with his people. And it's not really about the place, it's more about the intention that we're gathering together to meet with God. And we do often think of churches when we think about coming into the house of the Lord. But Abraham, when he was nomadic, wandering around, he just built altars wherever he was. That was his place. And then the early disciples, we read about it in the book of Acts, they went to houses. That was their house of the Lord. And it doesn't matter where, but what matters is that they knew they needed a place to draw close to God. And in Psalm 122, the people were glad to go to Jerusalem. So we've been hearing about these Psalms of Ascent because the people were going on pilgrimage to Jerusalem for special festivals. And it would have been such a special time because people from all around were gathered together and they would worship and they would praise, they would read from the script, they would know his forgiveness, remember God's story, what he'd done for them, and they would know his forgiveness. And so they probably came away feeling refreshed and renewed, ready to continue that walk with God. And this makes me think of HGB Focus or New Wine and that sense of going, gathering with lots of people, knowing you're going to hear from God. And in verse 3 of this psalm, there's this lovely phrase that Jerusalem was compacted together. And this immediately makes me think, okay, so the worship space and the toilets and the cafe are all close together. It's well set up as a festival place. But it's not about that. What they mean by saying compacted is that the people were united. They were tied together with their faith. And in verse 5, it says that they were standing under the thrones for judgment. And that sounds like quite a frightening thought, actually, doesn't it? Standing with the thrones of judgment. But actually, I think this is quite comforting because Jerusalem was under God's rule. And sometimes I feel a sense of relief when I come into a church because everything makes sense again. Outside in the world, we're under such strong marketing and value system that tell us to make money and be greedy and put ourselves first and be selfish. And it's a relief when we come here, where we're under God's rule and we hear of God's love and loving each other. And so I think it's actually wonderful to be under God's throne of judgment and not, I don't know, the Facebook throne of judgment. And so they would have been glad. They would have been glad to come to the house of the Lord, this place of prayer, this place where the world made sense, a place where they were with so many other people who believed the same, a place where they could draw close to God. And so church, whatever that looked like for them and whatever it looks like for us now, it's a gift from God. And Jesus encouraged his followers to gather together. I mean, at the Last Supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me. It's something we need to do again and again. And Paul, in his letters to the early church, he encouraged them to gather together. And why? Why do we do this? Well, partly is to share the news that God loves us, that he loves us so much, he came to earth to be with us, that we can know eternal life in Jesus, that we can know life in all its fullness now. But they also gather together because we need encouragement and we need regular time to just be set apart for God and for one another too. And it wasn't that long ago that we had this gift taken away from us. We physically couldn't come to this place to be together. We couldn't sing. We couldn't pray together. And we found ways around that. We've managed to still be church, but this is an absolute gift that we can't take for granted, just being here. And I think every time each one of us turns up to church, we're a blessing to everyone else. In Oasis, our women's Bible study group, we've just started looking at the book of Ephesians. And we've been thinking about the difference it makes being in a Christian community. And we were reflecting on how we're all encouraged when we see God at work in one another and how we gain support from one another by having those godly influences around us. And we had this image that it feels like the world is like this big tide going one way and we're these salmon desperately swimming the other way. And so when we come into church, this is our place to be still and to rest, where the water stills, and where we're surrounded by salmon, all going the same direction as us. And whatever we face, whether we're like the queen facing being the monarch, or whether we're facing our own grief over her, or whatever it is that we face, we need to come so we have every reminder available that God is with us. And so we're glad to come here. The Queen, she loved the church. She would regularly attend services, and she would sometimes even present Sunday school prizes to children. And apparently, when she went to church near Balmoral, the visiting preachers would then be invited to the castle, not just for lunch, but to stay for a couple of days. And apparently, there'd be these massive discussions all about their sermon, where they would interrogate them and see what was going on. Sounds scary to me, but but good fun. She wanted to encourage them, and she met with the archbishops regularly. She met with bishops. She wanted to encourage this church, and she took her role to encourage and protect the church very seriously. And we also have a role to play in protecting and nurturing this church. And Dan's just told us this vision for HDR about this this image of the tree, about welcome and about wellness. And I think we can start by doing exactly what the psalmist does at the end of Psalm 122. They pray. In those final verses, they pray a prayer over Jerusalem and all who go there. And they use this wonderful word, shalom. We translate it as peace, but shalom is much bigger than peace. It's bigger than not having conflict. It's wholeness, it's wellness in mind, body, spirit, shalom. And so they pray for that over Jerusalem. And that's a wonderful prayer for us to pray over this church and over each other, that everyone who comes here will know that shalom, that wholeness, that peace. And we will do that. But before we do, we're going to finish by remembering that the church isn't where we stay. We gather, but then we go out. The Queen, in her coronation, she met with God. She drew strength from him. And then she went out and she did her job. She came back regularly to be refreshed. But most of her faith was lived out, whether it was her proclaiming Jesus in her Christmas messages, or whether it was in her interactions with people. We've heard so many stories about how people's lives were better for having spoken with her. And so that's what we want to do here. At Holy Trinity, we want to meet with God. We want to praise him, talk to him, hear again about how much he loves each one of us. And we want to lift each other up and encourage each other. And we want to share in that faith. And then we want to go out. And as we go out of the doors, we want all of that love that flows in us to flow out into our families, our communities, our workplaces, wherever we go. And so we're going to finish by praying for our church. Let's pray. Lord God, we are glad to come here. Thank you for the gift of coming into church. Thank you for the gift of this time set aside to be with you and with one another. Thank you that once again we can hear of your love, your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you that we can come to your throne under your rule. And Lord God, we pray for shalom, for that peace, wholeness, wellness, and joy and hope. And we pray for it within these walls. We pray for it for everyone who is going to come here. We pray that each person in this church would grow those deep roots that Dan was talking about in you. And Lord God, we pray that we'd become compacted together, tied together by our shared love for you. We pray that this church would be one of welcome, one that people are glad to come to. And Lord, help us to be channels for that peace, that joy, that love. Please help us to let that overflow beyond these walls and into the lives of all that we meet, so that they too can be blessed by you. Amen.